Welcome to Cinema Savants, your home for all your movie and TV news with Todd Vandenberg, Lee Vowell, and Rob Steele.
And coming up in this week's show, Comic-Con. Seriously, do I need to say anything else? Because so much happened there, but actually other things happened in other places, and we'll get to those later. But first, I need to start with a small apology. Because in last Sunday's show, I mentioned that a new Doctor Who trailer was coming, and I was excited. And the first trailer turned out to be, here's a picture of the new companions. Well, yeah, we've seen that before. Oh, you put glittery special effects on them, and no vocals or no real look at the show. And I'm sorry if I got any of you as excited as I got. Then the real trailer hit later in the week, and it's not much better. The show, I'm thinking, is going to be fine. It's just a matter of getting to it so we can see something. Right now, it's all just kind of bleh. Blah, blah, blah. See? Transylvania Hotel, or whatever it's called, is the number one in the box office, and I don't care. Moving on to things we do care about.
Wait, before you move on, I have a question for you about Doctor Who.
Yes, go ahead.
Why does she need three companions? What's up with that?
That has happened before. I think, for me, it goes back to the David Tennant era of Doctor who I think she's vaguely dressed like, in as far as color schemes and everything goes, and he had three companions. Why can't she have three companions?
But not like this appears to be three at the same time all the time, or maybe that a shot.
Peter Davison had Nyssa, Tegan, and Adric. See, I'm going to go back and pull names up of these people.
Excellent. I don't like it because to me it smacks of, well, we're going to need other characters to carry this because people won't like the fact that Doctor Who is a woman.
Well, they also did it for a while with David Tennant. He had Rose, Mickey, and Captain Jack. Granted, not for very long.
Yeah, and then that's the thing. And of course, this could just be some short little, and hopefully it will just be one or two at a time, mostly, because I just like really.
Where were you last episode? I got lost in the TARDIS. Which is doable. So I suppose it's a thing. I don't know. I do think that three is a bit too many.
Yeah, that's just kind of...
Or a bit three many.
It really takes the focus away from the Doctor. Anyway, enough.
On to other news, and actually in the news... Oh, look, it's MoviePass again. Which means we hand it over to our MoviePass expert, Lee. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I do have MoviePass.
MoviePass is...
Really? Good for you.
I do. Well, I do because MoviePass is, I mean, it's, you know, as all the criticism gets, it's for the consumer. It's a great deal still. So it's, and still one of those deals that's so unbelievable that it's like, how do we still have this? Because, you know, you buy $10 and you get, what, five movies? I can't even remember what it is now, but it's a number that I never get to in a month, but it's still such a great deal.
Well, it's still 31, unless they got a different deal when you signed up, which they were doing for a while, but as far as I know, it's still
31. They changed the deals a bunch. That's the problem. Right. It's so inconsistent as far as
that's. Oh. And this is the first time I'm going to have a complaint about MoviePass is because now they've added peak pricing for some movies, and it's an odd number. For some films, it's $4.01 in addition. These are not like 3D. IMAX. This is just the regular 2D screenings that they've always covered. And so now at peak times for peak movies, it's $4.01 extra or maybe $3.51 extra, just depending.
That's on bizarre exactly prices. How popular
it is. It is very bizarre because, you know, most people know you've got the standard thing of, well, you know, it's the psychological thing. It's like no one prices anything at $4. It's $3.99. Because you don't see that four, and it's like, oh, well, you know, it's not that much. It's like, it's a penny short. They actually went a penny over just to kind of like rub it in your face. It's like, ha-ha, we're going
to make you happen to have, you know, you have to have pennies now. And no.
For instance, and they also have an alert that right now it's not peak pricing, but it may be. So, for instance, for Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom, 1:50 p.m., 2:50 p.m. shows, they may be peak priced. Mamma Mia at 1:30 will be peak price. 1:30 will be peak price. Right now, those are the only ones that are set for peak pricing. Last night, there were like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock shows for those two films were at peak price. So, I mean, it's still a good deal, but it doesn't save you nearly as much money as it used to. Because now, depending on how much your theater's charging, well, it's easier just to do the addition. If you're going to new movies and you go to four a month, now instead of costing you $10 to see four movies, it's going to cost you $26 to see four movies, which is still
a deal.
Cheaper, but it's not $10 anymore.
Not as much of an incentive to go to a movie.
Exactly, which to me, they must be in really bad financial straits, which, you know, the endless articles have said that for months now, right? Yeah. But this really plays into AMC. AMC has their A-list. That's the name of their pass. Of course, it's only good at AMC theaters. But it's three movies a week, which is not too bad. It is $20. I'm sorry, $19.99. That magical, let's drop below the number. but three movies a week, that's going to cover pretty much everybody. And yeah, it's twice as much, except now, if you're going to the new movies, it's actually cheaper than MoviePass. So MoviePass may actually be in trouble, and they may not make it, sadly. Because I can't see many people, not nearly as many people, signing up for it now that they've gone to this format where, okay, if you want to see a new movie, because now it's going to be kind of a hassle. It's like, really? I thought this is free. And even though it's in, who reads, you know, the fine print, that kind of stuff. And yes, it does alert you in the app, but still, I think that's going to be a big psychological hit for MoviePass. So I'm kind of sad to see that.
We've updated our terms and conditions. Oh, you bastard.
Yeah, and like Lee said, they've been doing that like a lot. Yeah. Hopefully they hang on, because I really don't want to spend the extra 20 to go to AMC, because I don't want to be locked into AMC theaters either. But yeah, it's just kind of sad that not enough people signed up. Because if a lot of people, if they'd had 10 million subscribers instead of, I think it's 3.5, they wouldn't have needed to do this. But it's the consumer's fault. Damn them all.
Oh, absolutely. Blame the consumer. And,
yeah, totally. Because that's the way corporations go, right?
Yeah. Let's see. Other thing in the news, and this is actually kind of newsish. The Thailand soccer team that got trapped in a cave that escaped. They're making, and we're back to movies again. They're not just making a movie about this soccer team. They're making six movies based on this Thailand soccer team that got caught in a cave. My question, and this is for both of you, is not whether we need six. I know we were going to get this many eventually anyway. What I want to know is, because I've never found this in any article on this at all, what the hell was this soccer team doing in a cave in the first place?
Goofing.
Ah.
A team building exercise.
What building cave
is? I mean, that's what it was. It was a team building. I mean, as ridiculous as it sounds.
Okay. I kind of suspected that, but at the same time, no one ever said, they were in the cave to build something, to become a better team, because if you kick the ball off the walls,
Well, they were looking for whoever hit Neymar before he flopped. But that's, if you don't know anything about soccer, people are laughing out there because of the whole Neymar thing.
What does the Submariner have to do with anyway?
Well, you think it's by the Mariners? Hey, they're in a. I mean, they've had.
That's a Seattle team.
In their last six. So.
Actually, they have possibly caused the cave in by kicking the ball against the wall, loosening the rocks, causing the cave in?
Ooh,
it's their own
very
fault.
Susian.
Thank you. I've been practicing for. I made that up actually just now, so I'm channeling my own Dr. Seuss, which is a dangerous thing to do, kind of like tweeting, which got somebody in trouble this week.
And well, it's funny because it got him in trouble this week, and the tweets are how old?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decades.
He even canceled the Twitter account, and someone, got a digital shovel and dug up some of James Gunn's old tweets when he was trying to be controversial and risque and whatever. And he said, you know what, this isn't working. And so he deleted his Twitter account, but they were brought up again. And now he's been fired from the third Guardians of the Galaxy movie. ironically by Disney, which is a because they said, oh, look at these tweets in your past. We can't have someone with a past like this, says the company that created the Brer Rabbit cartoon.
Can't believe that.
Maybe a bit. Do you guys have any comments on this? I think it's a bad idea.
Gunn said it was a failed attempt at being provocative.
That's the word I was looking for.
Tweets out, but I mean, here's the thing. It's like, I mean, we have the Me Too thing going on, which is needed. A lot of times, but at what point? We're not running for office here, you know. He's directing films. So at what point does he be like, well, 20 years ago, I messed up. I won't be. I mean, it seems.
Well, look at
ridiculous.
Trump. If he was running for office, he would have been fine.
True. That's a very good point, actually. But I mean, yeah, that's the whole point, is that it's like, you know, first of all, there is freedom of speech. So I don't even know exactly what he was saying, but it's so long ago. I mean, it's not like coming up in the last year. And he's directed two of the films, successful films, already. So it just seems like maybe they're using this as a reason to change directors
Which doesn't make sense. Cause,
no, it doesn't.
I don't think that's the reason. I don't think they're using it as an excuse. I think this is the tweet that put them over the edge. Quote, I like when little boys touch me in my silly place. Close quote.
His funny bone?
And not his funny bone. Is the implication. And I doubt that he is a pedophile, but he had several tweets along those lines, and I think he really was just trying to be provocative, because here's another tweet. The best thing about being raped is when you're done being raped and it's like, woo, this feels great, not being raped. I mean, that's a joke.
That's a Trump one. That's not James Gunn.
That would be Trump saying,
grab him by the pussy.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with what you guys are saying on the face of it, but at the same time, I think the hints of pedophilia is what pushed it over the edge. I think he made satirical comments about 9/11 and AIDS and the Holocaust. And frankly, I've done a lot of those, said a lot of those things too. And Disney might have fired me if I was lucky enough to be directing huge winners. But I see where they kind of had to do that because of the hints of pedophilia, and it sucks. But
they're so old, you know?
I get it. I know. They are old. But I can see where Disney's coming from this and saying, you know, dude, we can't do that. And he's released a statement saying that he understands, he gets it, he regrets saying it, and he's saying this, like, you know, listen, I was just trying to be provocative and be a goofball and just say things to get attention, which unfortunately got the wrong kind of attention. Now, I'm kind of on the fence about this. I wish they didn't do it, but I can see where that's kind of rough. Of course, at the same time, we're talking about, and of course, that's the difference in the time frame, right? Because you've got Roman Polanski, who was convicted of having sex with a 16-year-old, and, you know,
she
was still
16, though, was she? She was younger than that.
Was she 16 or 15? At any rate,
underage.
Yeah, and got a conviction against him for an actual act, not just for tweeting something, and he won an Oscar. That obviously wouldn't happen, and although I believe he's been kicked out of the Academy for those actions, right? So,
right.
Yeah, he'll be kicked out of the Academy, but he still could probably be president of the United States. So.
Well, yeah, and that's the bigger issue, really, is here's a director who said who basically was making jokes in poor taste several years ago, and he gets fired from a very lucrative job, and it sucks, where obviously the president can say much worse things about things that he's done
or actively doing.
Yeah, and it's okay. So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. You know, then there's been Dave Bautista came out and said, hey, this is a terrible decision, this is wrong, blah, blah, blah. His brother came out, and this is one thing I wanted to mention. His brother came out, obviously, in support, but to lighten it just a little bit. The article that mentioned his brother, Sean Gunn, who has been in the Marvel films, he actually does the motion capture for Rocket Raccoon. This article says, today, the longtime brother, friend, and co-star It's like, we all right. And when I saw the longtime brother, I thought, you know, you got to be careful.
Brother.
You got to be careful how you write things. So that was like the longtime brother. It's like, you might want to have rephrased that. The other thing in this article was talking about how, well, they doubt that Sean Gunn is going to be back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. And he's an important person because he does the motion capture for Rocket Raccoon. It's like, really? I bet you can find an actor to do the mocap for Rocket Raccoon. If he did the voice, that would be different. But the motion capture? Seriously, dude? You really think there's like Sean Gunn has like this certain walk and no one else can replicate that? That's frankly stupid. I mean, it sucks. The whole situation absolutely sucks. But that's ridiculous. This is not going to kill the franchise because, oh, we have to get a different actor to do the mocap. Getting a different director, that's the thing you should be focusing on. It's really unfortunate. It's an awful situation. But James Gunn himself says, it's not to say I'm better, but I'm very, very different than I was a few years ago. Today I try to root my work in love and connection and less in anger. My day saying something just because it's shocking and trying to get a reaction are over. He says, for the record, I wasn't living those jokes out. It seems obvious, but, you know, here I am saying it. But, you know, he's apologizing and say it sucks. And he closes by saying, love you to you all. So he gets it. It absolutely sucks because in the climate we're in, if there seems to be one person who's not held to any standards whatsoever, and everyone else is held to incredibly high standards, which is a major, major problem.
It's Robert Downey Jr. The standards he's held to. You know, he's good at improvising. You'll get him to do Rocket as well as Iron Man.
He is good at improvising, apparently.
Better it came out this week. Yeah, that was the thing. He improvised that last big line at the end of the original Iron Man, the I am Iron Man line, which Kevin Feige says took the whole universe in a different direction.
I can hardly say. I mean, we knew that he improvised a lot of that, and that's exactly why they wanted him in that role, because they knew he's capable of that and inhabiting that character and being that character. But for him to decide, oh, I think I'll change the ending of the film, and like Feige said, is like completely sets things on a different course. It's not like, oh, well, now we can do Thanos, because that's not the point. But I mean, it's just that establishes who that character is and changes what can happen in the Marvel Universe, because Tony Stark generally didn't walk around telling everybody he was Iron Man.
Not at first.
And that took decades. And for them to say, you know what, this is the right move, that shows how much trust Feige and the Marvel team has in the people in the talent, whether it's the directors or the actors. I mean, that's amazing to me.
I was actually thinking that he did that as kind of a joke, and then, oh, fine, we'll go back and do the regular line. And Feige went, no, we're keeping that.
Right. That's the key there, too, is that the director decided this works. You know, it wasn't just Robert Downey Jr. It was the whole team who making the film.
Kind of had to be.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because Downey doesn't have approval of the final cut, obviously.
Right.
So
Right.
Well, at least not then he didn't.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, how much improvisation goes on during films, and a lot of it gets cut out. Maybe those were great lines, but they were, first of all, it's Robert Downey Jr., but secondly, you know, the team making, and it just, again, goes back to show how Marvel makes intelligent decisions, whereas DC, you know,
we'll get to them in a minute.
Well, they could have been making a DC film, and he could have done the same thing, and they would have been like, oh, no, we don't want that.
Yeah, very true. And credit to Jon Favreau, who, I mean, obviously he and Downey are buddies, but I mean, forgive the director of the Iron Man films and for giving him the leeway and recognizing this, like, I'm just going to go with this, what this dude is saying, because he was the one in charge and he could have just cut it, nipped it in the bud and, you know, and not sent those rushes to Feige and the rest and said, no, that's not going to work. And I don't think Favreau gets enough credit. I mean, the character obviously is Robert Downey Jr., and it's going to be really tough to replace that dude. But I don't think Favreau gets nearly enough credit for the sense of fun that the whole Marvel Universe generally, other than Infinity War, has, although there's a lot of fun moments in that too. So he really helps set the tone more than Downey, because he's the guy calling the shots.
Well, you brought up Infinity War, which part two of is supposed to have a definitive ending. I love how they said that. Every movie has always had a definitive ending. When it says the end, or we're done, or here's the end, here's the last credit you're going to see, that means it's ended.
Yeah, even Andy Warhol movies have endings. I mean, eventually the film stops and you got to leave the theater. So
the Lord of the Rings movies did eventually end.
I feel like I've defended that for a long time. The book ends the same way, the trilogy. But the Marvel films, it doesn't really have a definitive ending because, you know, we always wait for the trailers or whatever the thing is.
I'm just teasing them.
They don't, because we could watch them on DVD, so they're always going on.
The never-ending
story. DVD.
Never-ending story is what it is.
DVD. Lee, do you still have your VHS-DVD combo player, too? That's pretty sweet.
You know, oddly enough, I might actually have one around here.
I keep finding VHS tapes and realizing I don't have a VCR to watch them with.
Until I moved, I did have a combo player, and I thought, I ain't taking that damn thing. So
anyway, we brought up all this Marvel stuff. They're not even really doing a big thing at Comic-Con this year. The only thing they really sent this year was a Lego statue of Thanos that I found out was made up of 91,350 bricks and took 418 hours to create. And people have said that they would much rather watch the real-time creation of that than Iron Fist Season 2, which is now has a date of September 7th. Oh, dear. Have you seen the trailer for it? Because I think it looks slightly better, but at the same time, it's still got the same guy.
I've not seen the trailer for it. I did read that they have a new stunt fight court choreographer, which... Thank goodness for that. However,
Ken Shamrock. Uh-oh.
Can the actor do the moves? He's in Luke Cage, Season 2, and he's still slow. I'm sorry, dude, but like, man.
Well, it worked for David Carradine.
Yeah, it worked for David Carradine because...
That made sense with what he was doing, really.
Yeah, it did make sense with what he was doing. I was like, and David Carradine was before... The general culture had been exposed to people who could actually perform as opposed to a dancer mimicking moves. And that's what he comes off as. He comes off as like, oh, look, it's David Carradine 2.0 without the cool factor.
Yeah.
I'm just not particularly – I mean, I'll watch it and hope and pray that the fight scenes are better and hope that he's less whiny this time around. I know there's an early review out of it and says, wow, this is really great. Not really sure how they saw the entire season, because I think they're basing it on the trailer.
Yeah,
it's not out there. It's not even out there for, I mean, typically when they do release some episodes, it's like the first two or three, and that's it. I'll watch it, but I mean, this is Marvel's miss.
Now, you see, you say you'll watch Iron Fist, and we try to watch the Marvel series because they're good and we like them.
They're wonderful.
Except for one that I have any of us actually watched any of Cloak and Dagger, which has been renewed for Season 2, by the way?
Yes. Let me rephrase that. I watched the Netflix Marvel series.
Okay.
I have not watched Cloak and Dagger because...
I keep meaning to and going, I'm going to sit down and watch Cloak and Dagger, and then one of my kids runs in the room and goes, no, we're watching Sailor Moon. I'm like, oh, God, not again.
You're probably being saved, is my guess. It's on CW, isn't it?
Actually, I don't think it is. I think it's streaming. Well, I get it through Hulu. So.
We should look that up.
We should probably look this up. We'll get back to you next week. Meanwhile, over at the CW. Yeah, it's not on the CW. That's all DC stuff.
It's on Freeform.
Thank you. I knew it was something like that.
I don't even know what Freeform is.
It used to be
ABC
Family.
Family.
Oh, okay.
Right.
CW is adding to its DC series. They're adding a Batwoman series, which I kind of like the idea of, really.
Which Batwoman is it?
It is the newer version, not the one from the 1930s, the one from the recent one.
The most recent one?
Yes.
Because there have been, what, four, I think? three or four.
I think there's been three throughout the 8,000 year history of Batman. But yeah, this is the recent one with the red hair and the colonel for a dad, and she's, ooh, let's make it edgy. She's a lesbian.
Right.
Which I'm going to get to that bit in a minute.
She's the most interesting one, though, I think, because she stands next to Batman and holds her own as far as she's not a lackey.
And she uses guns because she wants to. So there. they also announced that for the DC streaming service, they're adding a Stargirl series, which I thought was kind of an obscure character to bring up, but okay, go ahead.
Which is interesting.
No mention of Stripe, which is her.
I was just going to ask.
Mecha dad.
Is it going to have the dad? That would be cool.
Don't know.
It should, because that would be an interesting. I mean, you don't see that much in superhero stuff. I mean, Black Lightning, he's just the dad, which is cool. But I would hope they would do that. That would be pretty slick.
Let's see. Announcement for Supergirl season 4. They're adding a transgendered superhero played by Nicole Maines, apparently, for the purpose of being diverse, I'm told. And I would like to point out that I have yet to see any Native Americans on any of these shows. I'm just saying. And frankly, I'm going to go into James Gunn territory. So here we go. It's not like we're going to be getting any kind of full-on sex scenes in these shows, so I don't really care what kind of genitalia these characters have. Am I the only one that feels this way?
Are you sure we won't? What network are they on?
Yeah, on the CW. I mean, it's broadcast television. You don't.
Yeah, I don't care.
I don't either. I mean, it's not that I'm against the idea. If you want to do that, knock yourself out.
But now, if it really informs the character, like you mentioned Midnighter, you know, if it's an important part of that person's psyche,
right,
and hopefully they would make it that, then okay, that's cool. It certainly doesn't bother me. I don't think that this is something, though, we've got to do this, but yeah, fine.
I don't think you need to have a character who introduces themselves every time as, I used to be a man, or probably with a more feminine voice.
Maybe that's their power.
Gender swap man, woman, eunuch, something.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it, obviously, but it's just kind of like, really? We're just doing this just to do it. Like they said,
in the name of diversity.
Like,
superhero name would have to be Hermaphrodite, which kind of sounds like a superhero name anyway.
It does.
Anyway, Supergirl Season 4, they have a trailer, allegedly, for Season 4, except that I recognize the footage for all but like three scenes as being from previous shows. So I'm a bit disappointed in that. And Todd, time to be happy a bit for DC. They released the animated movie slate for 2019. We're headed in the right direction again. On the review show, I did The Death of Superman. There's a sequel to that. The Reign of the Superman. If it's done anything like Death of Superman, it's going to be good.
Yay.
They're doing Justice League versus the Fatal Five. Now, if you don't know the Fatal Five, they're usually a Legion of Superheroes villain, but maybe they're introducing them. It looks like it's still going to be using the new 52 variant of the Justice League, which have been good so far. I like that. Keep it up. Third movie would be Wonder Woman Bloodlines, which, yay, Wonder Woman gets another movie. First one in, I think, 10 years. Animated. I don't know anything about the storyline for this. I do, however, know about the Batman movie. It's called Hush, which, if you know the storyline from the books, and I liked the storyline from the books.
Yeah, that's a great story. I'm kind of surprised they hadn't done that already, because they've done, how many Batman movies have they done at this
They've
point?
They've done a lot. Well, like, I mean, Batman is 25? Batman is their big character.
Has it really been that many? It hadn't been that many, has it? Really?
It seems like it. I mean, seriously.
It does kind of
feel that way. So many.
Every year they've done one, there's always been at least one Batman movie. You know, you have a Justice League movie, a Titans movie, and a Batman movie, and then a Superman movie, and a Wonder Woman, and a Batman movie. And there just seems to be a constant stream of Bat movies to come out, because Batman's had some great storylines. And Hush was one of them, and I'm looking forward to that. Almost as much as I'm looking forward to something that... There was a DC series that was killed off years ago on a cliffhanger for no reason. It had good ratings, even. But the DC streaming service is finally putting out Young Justice Season 3. There's a 5-minute video out for it that was released at Comic-Con. The first 2.5 minutes are, this is where we left off, and it does cover basically the ending of the Kid Flash storyline, which is frankly depressing, but it's awesome at the same time. The last 2.5 minutes are new stuff, where we find out that the style of animation and art looks the same as the other series. We know the voice actors are back. The storyline has to do with metahuman trafficking, which sounds awesome. So
I could use some.
I'm not even going... What, metahuman trafficking?
Yeah, I can use some metahumans, yeah. I would like to find the trafficker of metahumans. For the record, there have been 20 animated Batman films, not including Justice League. Not including the Superman team-ups. I mean, that's kind of crazy. That does not include the Scooby-Doo movie, so if you count that one, it's 21.
No, you gotta include it. It's
21. That's just nuts.
Let's see, so...
And most of them, extremely good.
Yeah, except for Harley Quinn. Then there's the DC full-blown movies, the live-action stuff. Two trailers hit this week from Comic-Con. The second one was James Wan's Aquaman, which I'm really confused about how they keep saying it's James Wan's Aquaman, but DC's Shazam. Really? Anyway, who is it? Jason Momoa, who's starring as Aquaman. Mm-hmm. Says he wanted the movie to be Star Wars, but underwater.
Oh my gosh.
Like that, I'm not sure if that's a good setup, because the last several Star Wars movies haven't been up to the original. So maybe...
Hopefully he's thinking of the old ones.
I hope he is.
The trailer itself looks like Day After Tomorrow, that kind of stuff. It doesn't look good. It just looks like there's going to be a whole bunch of nothing happening, just a whole bunch of action sequences, which is fine if it's well done. But at the same time, like I said, this looks like Day After Tomorrow, a very forgettable film. It just looks like, oh, there's a fish that's breaking the glass, or a shark that's breaking the glass. It's like a...
Look at the screensaver.
I'm really kind of torn on the trailer, because it certainly looks like, well, we're finally moving in something of the right direction, because for one thing, you can actually see everything on the screen. It's not... You know, like we've cut 70% of the light out because it's got to be a dark universe. So thank goodness for that. I don't think he says bro in this one, does he?
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
So, well, I mean, in the trailer, I think they've broed him down somewhat, because now he's in possibly has to be the king. So that's nice. Although there are still some aspects of that goofball character, which I could really do without. He's going at some point. He's going to don the traditional costume, which is cool. I like that. It's until I saw the trailer, I wasn't even going to watch it, because DC, other than Wonder Woman, has not given me any reason to watch any of their films for quite a while. So I'm glad at least they're trying. They got the message. Whether they can actually move on and accomplish it, that's another story. But at least they're trying. At least it's not this grim, oh my God, slog, where I'm going to have to watch 2.75 hours of this stuff to find out that Aquaman, Arthur Curry's mom's name is Martha. And oh, look, that's Black Man. That's, you know, I was like, no, stop with that crap.
Well, I guess it goes along with the Shazam trailer, which was not dark. Even in we're walking down a dark alley at night. Look at all these lights. I mean, the one line that stuck with me through the trailer was Billy Batson, I choose you. I'm like, what? Like he's a Pokemon. What the hell? I mean, to me, this movie looks goofy.
It looks campy. To me, it looks very... I thought the trailer was actually more interesting than Aquaman because of that specific reason. It looked campy, like they were having fun with it.
Oh, I agree. I think it's much more interesting than Aquaman. But, you know, the thing is, it almost looks like this is not going to fit into the DC universe, and I think that's kind of their point. I think they've kind of abandoned the whole concept of...
Well, I don't know. There was one thing in the trailer that tied directly back to the DC universe, which was, look, there's a Batarang on my shelf.
Yeah. But I think they're... I think they've stepped away from the concept of everything's got to tie in, and realizing we have to make good movies. And then we can tie them in.
Then we can tie them together.
Which is what Marvel did. And you can have little subtle things like the Batarangs, but they don't have to all fit. They don't all have to be this same vision, the Zack Snyder vision. Thank God that's gone, and some people want it back, which we'll get to. So, yeah, this looks good. This looks like an 80s made-for-TV movie in the right way. Just like you said, Lee, goofy. It just looks over-the-top silly and fun. It's like it's a comic book movie. Like, I wasn't interested in Shazam because I don't really care about the character, because the character is really goofy to me. But this trailer made me interested in seeing this, because this looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. Imagine that, DC actually making a fun, lighthearted movie.
Well, let's flip that, because they're not done making the dark stuff. No. We got a trailer for the Titans series.
Yeah.
Holy cow, did Quentin Tarantino direct this?
Perhaps.
There's... for those of you who haven't seen it, I should let you know that the trailer has been... Was it rated NC-17 for the trailer? Because there's language, and there's a lot more blood than I was expecting there to be.
Some serious language.
Yeah.
And we're in America, so blood doesn't matter. I mean, that could be G-rated, but...
Apparently not.
Yeah.
It doesn't look bad, but at the same time, my 10-year-old daughter... is a fan of the Titans, and she was looking forward to this until I watched the trailer and went, oh, you're not watching this.
Yeah, really.
It is TVMA. That's what it's rated.
That's what I was looking for. Which, for their teenage characters, how did you pull off an MA thing? It's because Beast Boy turns into an octopus. No, I'm going to move on from that immediately and go on to... non-DC thing. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is being rebooted. Do we care?
Never watched the first one, so I really don't care.
Okay.
I have seen a bit of the first one, and the lady I'm dating. Actually, I really, really liked the first one, so that's why I've seen some of the first one. So when I saw the breakdown of what we were going to be talking about today, I actually sent her, pulled up a link, and so Buffy is, you know, there's an African-American actress that looks like it's going to be the lead, basically. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really say, oh, that looks cool, but she didn't like expound on it or anything. So I think it's one of those things where Buffy is, again, really campy, and I'm wondering if they try to make it something other than, oh, this is goofy, kind of fun, you know, if they try to make it look how serious we can be. But at least Joss Whedon is still involved with it, so that makes me a little bit more hopeful that they'll actually do a decent job with it.
Okay, well, let's see, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And speaking of being slain, I'm going to go back to the DC universe for just a moment and talk about the Zack Snyder cut of the Justice League, which appears to have finally been slain. It's not coming out until... the next time we hear a story about it, when it will be.
This is the stupid thing. It never was.
Wait, hang on a minute. Just a moment.
He's going to say Snyder is doing the new cut.
This Zack Snyder Justice League moment is brought to you by Eggo Waffles.
As you would have been more excited if you said brought to you by James Gunn, because then I would have been like, what's happening? What's going to happen next?
It's going to have a lot of off-color jokes that are really old. This whole thing is so ridiculous. It's like, oh, people wanted a Snyder cut. I for the life of me, I cannot understand why anybody would want the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League, because did they not watch Batman v Superman and what a crap fest that thing was? I watched it again this week because I knew we were going to be talking about this, just to see, was it really that bad? It's like every time I see it, it gets worse. So, no.
I just watched the one scene where Batman gets dropped off from the second floor of the building and beats the crap out of everybody. I liked that bit.
There are parts that are good. That's true. Because, I mean, it's Batman. It would be really hard to make a completely awful movie with Batman in it. Although he worked really hard at it.
Except for one with George Clooney.
The whole... That's not completely awful.
Yes, it is.
It has its...
Well, I've got a bat really. Credit card and bat nipples.
Yeah, well, you know. Wow. It does have way too many bad jokes by Arnold Schwarzenegger, so it has that going for it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, anyway, yeah, this campaign, I'm guessing how many people wanted the cut? What, maybe 20,000 people? As it says, diehard proponents of the movement.
Let them go watch Die Hard then.
But, you know, assemble your own little fanboy edit of it and watch your horrible crap fest version of Justice League, which would make it worse than it is, because, you know, it's an okay movie. It's nothing compared to the best of Marvel, which is sad because, you know, should have been. And Warner's finally confirmed, no, there's no such cut and there's not going to be a cut. Why would there be a Zack Snyder cut? When, I mean, basically, it's come out that more or less the unfortunate passing of his daughter was kind of tied in because they weren't really happy with how things were going anywhere. Anyway, so no, they're not going to release a cut of something they were not happy with to begin with. I my only thought is they're all Trump voters because, you know, they wanted something even worse than reality. And so here we are. I just, why would you want a cut that's more like a really crappy movie? And, you know, at least this had some light tones to it. At least this changed some things. I guess there wasn't enough Martha in Justice League for him. That's the only thing I can figure out. But this concept that, oh, Warner is going to release an alternate cut. What, because like maybe 10,000 people said, oh, we want a different cut? No, dude, sorry. Millions of people saw the movie, not just 10,000. And they liked the way it was. So, no, it's not going to happen for you.
Hey, can you back up, like, just a minute? I was pre-ordering my Zack Snyder cut. I missed the last part of what you're saying.
What a... This goes to, you know, the terrible ratings. What movie was it that got sabotaged, basically?
I got this
more
one.
Than one.
Any M. Night Shyamalan film.
Well, I meant by viewers on Rotten Tomatoes, but yeah.
Well, didn't they try to do that to the Black Panther, and boy, didn't that work good?
Yeah, they have tried that with other things, but, you know, by creating fake accounts and then they went the reverse with the Gotti movie, and oh, look how many great reviews it has, and then after a few days, it's like, oh well, the fake accounts, their weight disappeared because actual people went to see it and said, no, this sucks.
Of course, yeah, people, fake accounts, and that's what changed the history of the world, and that's how we got our president. But
yeah. It's also sad, but this whole thing is ridiculous.
Speaking of stealing things.
Nice. Excellent.
It's my segue to...
Excellent segue.
It's not Hayao Miyazaki's version of Lupin. Arsène Lupin, French character created by a guy named Maurice LeBlanc, no relation to Matt, back in 1905, although Matt LeBlanc's jokes seem to be that old. Lupin is being created as a new series for Netflix coming out in 2020. It's going to be a live action thing starring Omar Sy. And all I know about the character really is what I got from the Hayao Miyazaki movie, which is very little compared to, I went to look for the Lupin the Third stuff. And it turns out there's like 500 episodes of a TV series.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'll watch this show and start over from what the beginning of that is. So there.
I think I'd be more interested if it was Lupin, the character from Harry Potter, if he had his own TV series.
That would be that too. That'd be kicky.
I don't know. Lupin the Third character was fun. Anyway, other stuff that's coming out, and this was not at Comic-Con. PBS is coming out with a non-musical version of Les Miserables, which translates from the French as The Miserables, because that's, seriously, that's what it is. It's a music-free version because it's actually based on the book, although expect it to still be really depressing.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. And in other musical news, because this...
Although the cast is phenomenal, though, I will say.
The cast is phenomenal. Well, actually, the cast of this one is not all that good. They're making a movie version of Cats for Universal Pictures.
I disagree. I don't even know, but Ian McKellen, James Corden, I don't care. Well,
that's just it. You, Jennifer Hudson and Taylor Swift, really?
James Corden, she's a good actress.
She's a good actress.
All right.
And maybe Taylor Swift.
I'm trying to picture Ian McKellen as a cat, and I'm not sure I want to. But I mean, if that's what they want to do, who am I going to? I'm not going to stop them.
The thing is, I don't like the musical. The music to me is just too sad and saccharine. But because of the cast, the preliminary cast that they have, because it hasn't been fully cast yet, it actually makes me think, oh, I actually might see that, because Ian McKellen and James Corden and Taylor Swift may be great, but Jennifer Hudson is usually really good in musicals.
I'll see it if David Letterman is in it. It's one of my favorite moments of the Letterman show is when he kept on singing Moonlight for like months on end. Every once in a while, he would just break into that part of that song, and it was hideous beyond belief, which made it great. So,
speaking of hideous beyond belief, that's a spectacular segue. Thank you. I'll be here for another 10 minutes. Okay, I'm not knocking the actor. I'm knocking the idea of casting him in this role. He's an Oscar-nominated actor, Timothy Chalamet, who was in Call Me By Your Name and later Lady Bird.
And he's great in both.
Yeah, I'm not saying that he's a bad actor.
I didn't know he was 12 until I saw the outline. Amazing.
He looks 12. He's apparently, I looked him up, he's 22.
He does look 12, you're right.
He looks 12.
Tom Holland looks 15, so what are you saying?
Well, see, he's supposed to be playing a teenager. I never picked up Paul Atreides in Dune as being 12 years old.
Yeah.
I always thought he was, you know, at least old enough to drive. And yes, Timothy Chalamet is 22. He can drive. He just... Does this seem to fit for anybody?
Yeah, I mean, Chalamet is really, really good actor, and I think he has a lot of potential. And if he is actually 12, that really, really makes Call Me By Your Name really disgusting. But,
Who directed that? No, I'm not going to go there. Never mind.
James Gunn?
Oh, you went there.
I went there.
Oh, my gosh.
And that apricot scene is totally disgusting anyway.
Oh, geez.
Moving on. Okay.
Before we move on, are you excited / interested in a Dune project? Period. Regardless of who plays Paul,
I think that's the bigger question.
I think it probably is.
I don't care.
I actually rewatched Dune this week because I needed something to fall asleep to.
The movie or the TV thing?
The movie.
Okay.
I actually think they did a better job of being faithful to the book in the miniseries. Yeah. Than they did in the movie. A weirding device? What do you know? That's not in the book at all whatsoever. I don't know where that even... Don't know where that came from. I don't know if we need another one. We've got two.
Yeah.
Oh, but speaking of just being remade again and again and again and again... Fox Networks Group Europe and Africa, because such a thing exists, have announced plans for a modern day version of War of the Worlds. Again, because we haven't had enough of them. And I would like to point out that this is separate from the BBC version that's coming later this year that is not modern day set. It's set in Edwardian England.
Oh, cool. I'll watch the BBC version. That sounds great. Yeah.
I'll give you that. That sounds a lot better than, oh goody, another modern day, because Tom Cruise is going to drive a car in it or something.
I wonder if H.G. Wells is going to be a character in the BBC version. That would be interesting. I mean, seriously, because they've done that before in films where he's inserted as a character in a vehicle that he wrote. So
that would work.
Or maybe there's no dialogue. It's just Orson Welles narrating.
I would totally watch that. Not sure how you do it, but I would totally watch it anyway.
That would also be cool. Speaking of things to watch, four more trailers to point out that came out of Comic-Con, I suppose. First one being Glass, which combines Unbreakable and Split. I barely remember Unbreakable. at this point. Good. I suppose actually, I need to go back and watch it.
I really like Unbreakable.
Yeah,
I
me too.
Unbreakable was a great, I thought it was a great movie.
Which I feel embarrassed to say almost now, but yeah, I think Unbreakable and Sixth Sense are good. And then it's every movie has been digressively worse, I guess. Digressively worse?
Congressively?
The Visit? Is that the one of the title of the one with the grandparents, which wasn't bad? And then he did Split, which was really good.
See, I haven't seen Split. I gave up on him because he started off his career. Exactly. His movie started off so well, and then it's like I see Glass and Mr. Glass, first of all, the actors. Hello, I mean it's worth seeing for that.
Yes,
but I'm not sure you know what the execution is going to be like. So maybe he's kind of hey, I need to get back to basics, or as far as my basics are concerned, and maybe that's going to make the movie good, actually.
Yeah, you need to watch Split. Split's very good. I don't think it quite holds up to, like, The Sixth Sense, but it's still real. It's much better than anything he's done since Unbreakable. And I really like The Village. And I really like Signs. But, I mean, yeah, there's a definite... I mean, yeah,
right, and those films I like, but I don't like them nearly as much as the first ones. And each one is a step down from the one before.
Exactly. Well, Split, I think, is... like at least his third best film.
Okay.
I mean it's really, really good. And it doesn't hurt to have James McAvoy playing 17 characters really brilliantly. I mean, because he's freaking amazing in that movie. And of course now, because this movie's coming out, the big reveal at the end is kind of ruined, but it's very cool. And I'm really looking forward to this movie. And like you said, who knows if he's going to revert to The Happening and make this something that even Zack Snyder would disavow. God, I hope not. But just the one scene with the three of them sitting in the same room, I'm really curious how it gets to that point. I want to see the movie just to see how that happens. Why are they all institutionalized, basically, and all talking to the psychiatrist, which I think this is going to be I hope this is going to be a fantastic movie. To me, this has the potential to be his best movie ever, seriously.
And the psychiatrist character, by the way, is Corky St. Clair from Waiting for Guffman, so that's worth watching.
she's an excellent actress. She's been busy with American Horror Story for seven seasons now. I think she's in all the seasons.
I haven't seen that show at all, but...
she's great.
Should I see that? This is way off topic, but should I see that show?
Some of the episodes, like Murder House, the very first one, yeah, it's really, really good. Okay. The Asylum is excellent. To me, it's a little uneven, but it's a really good series. But yeah, she's an excellent actress. So this is just more reasons to think, man, this movie is going to rock. And hopefully it's – I have to temper my expectations because, you know, it'll probably be
– Well, see, here I'll help you temper them. James McAvoy was also in the TV sequel to Dune, Children of Dune.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Just because he's in it, just because those three actors are in it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be great. And sadly, I know. But he definitely – M. Night Shyamalan definitely seems to have his mojo back. So
that's good.
God knows what happened to it.
Having those three, exactly. Well, what did happen? It's like he fell off a mental cliff or something. But
really.
Having those three actors doesn't mean the film's going to be good. But it also means there's the potential. Potential is I will go to see it.
Exactly.
If the reviews come out and it's got like a 12 or something, I'm going to be like, but I still would more likely see it just because of those actors that are in it. It could still suck though.
Yeah, it could.
But speaking of things we're not real sure about, let's see, it's another segue ish. Trailer for Godzilla, King of Monsters. And Todd, this goes right into you because I know you're a Godzilla fan.
Totally.
Because I do not understand the trailer, which said Godzilla is a titan, apparently, who protects the Earth, really, from man-made catastrophes. Uh-huh. So when they show up to help us protect us from these man-made catastrophes, we attack them with guns and planes and tanks and what?
How
dare you protect us? Wait, huh?
The person who is uttering those lines seems like she's kind of on the fringe. She doesn't appear to represent the general consensus view Vera Farmiga plays the character, and she, another reason to watch the movie is like, she's awesome. So she's the one who has this theory that, okay, these are Titans, and they're here to protect the Earth, not so much from man-made disasters, but from man's excesses. Like, oh, if there's too many people, Godzilla's going to show up and kind of get rid of some of those people. So that's kind of, you know, it's almost like the Gaia theory that Earth is a living thing and that Godzilla is like a component of that. So that's kind of where that comes from. I don't really care about that. I just care as like monster fights. This is going to be so cool. The little clips that we've gotten look just amazing.
And there's lightning at this time.
It looks so good. Hopefully, like glass, hopefully it pans out. Hopefully it meets the expectations. But because I've had my heart hurt a little bit, like earlier this year with the Pacific Rim follow-up, which was god-awful. It was just, what a piece of trash. So hopefully this is not the case with this. But, man, the trailer looks good. Looks really, really good. And the fact that, again, a really good cast is in it. Ah, and three monsters. Woo! In addition to Godzilla. No waiting. So it's interesting that they just went right to it and went to the three core opponents. So, nice.
Yeah, the cast looks phenomenal. I haven't seen the trailer, but
yeah,
the cast does look really good. You mentioned for me, but Sally Hawkins,
right.
Kyle Chandler, who's not great, but I'm always entertained.
Yeah, he's good.
Jane, Ken Watanabe.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'll see that. I'm not a big Godzilla fan. I never have been, but if the cast is good, it carries a film. I don't care really what the film is. I don't know anything about this director. It looks like he's directed a whole bunch of Trick or Treat stuff.
I know. It's kind of like odd that they went with this director, but yeah, I'm hopeful that they chose the right person. So we'll see.
Trick or Treat Father's Day. Trick or Treat Making Friends.
Trick or Treat sounds like a public service announcement. Anyway, the trailer. One of the other trailers that came out. The full trailer for Bohemian Rhapsody. And I'm going to start by saying I'm not usually a big fan of the biography picture movies, but I want to see this one because it actually looks really, really good.
It does.
I was a fan of Freddie Mercury anyway, so there. Your guys' thoughts on this?
Trailer looks really good. Both trailers I've seen. I like the second one more because there actually is, you kind of get a hint that, oh, maybe he's gay. Whereas the first one, you know,
right.
It's just...
Yeah, that was a complaint about the first one. You didn't show him being gay enough. I'm like, it's a trailer.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the first one almost seemed to kind of dodge the issue, which I that kind of bothered me too. It's like, come on. Yeah. I mean, this is not like we're making this character gay or transgender just because we want to be edgy. That's who the person was. So
he died from AIDS.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to avoid that. So yeah, I'm glad.
Right.
Yeah, that's part of his identity.
Yeah, the second trailer has the comment about, you know, I'm the only queen, or there only needs to be one queen in this band, and then he goes, which is a funny comment, and then he goes to touch the guy's hand, and they make other references, and I'm like, oh, thank God, because it's like, if you're going to make the music's great, we already know the music, so...
We're rebooting Freddie Mercury as straight. No.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Because we know the music, a lot of it is fun music, like Bohemian Rhapsody, for instance. So if you're making a film where it's just like, oh, this is like concert footage almost, they've just got another actor, or they've got an actor playing Freddie Mercury, that's going to be different. But if they actually make it a little bit more real, which brings context and substance to the film, then they have to include the fact that he's gay. I'm glad the second trailer showed that instead of the first one, because if they'd kept showing it, it's like, oh, they never really touched on the fact that, oh, maybe he's gay and, oh, he died from AIDS and stuff like that. That's who Freddie Mercury was, part of Freddie Mercury. So I'm glad the second one made me even more excited about the film. I would have seen it either way, but the second trailer I thought did a lot better job than the first one.
Agreed.
And really excited to see this too. And Rami Malek looks
exactly
like
Freddie Mercury. Yes.
I haven't seen all of Mr. Robot, but the episodes I've seen, he's excellent. So I'm really excited about this. This looks really, really cool.
So I want to end the show on a trailer that I'm torn on a bit. It's actually for a TV series. Star Trek Discovery Season 2. This hit last night, and it looks good, and it looks exciting, but it doesn't look Star Trek. I mean, Star Trek was the, you know, boldly going where no one has gone before thing, and no, there's Federation people where you're going constantly. So does this look Star Trek, or does it look more, I don't know, something? What does this look like to you guys?
I mean, Star Trek has had so many different iterations now. I mean, it still fits. But no, it doesn't remind me of classic Star Trek, but, you know, it works.
Even though Captain Pike took over the ship.
Yeah. I was like, what? That seems a little interesting, to say the least.
I'll agree.
Of course, Pike's the original captain.
Yep.
So, we'll see. That comes out later. Speaking of coming out later, later this week, that would be Thursday, you get the Cinema Savants review show. No, I'm not telling you what we're reviewing. You'll have to tune in on Thursday. We'll see you then.
Captain, we're losing power in the warp engines.
I think we should be leaving now.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
And on that unusually harmonious bombshell, it is time to end.
I am very disappointed!
Man, we have a weird job.
It's shameful, but it's a living.
And like that, he's gone.
Darn, that's the end.